yeah, cause he's intentional. Never failing. I know that all things are working for my good. Yeah, cause he's intentional. Never failing. All things are working
for my good.
Cause he's intentional.
He's intentional.
Hey, and he's never failing.
Never failing.
All things are working for my good.
Praise God, and welcome to Eve's Corner. Eve's Corner is a show of enlightenment, encouragement, and empowerment. And we definitely do thank God for your joining on today. Today's show is entitled, The Path to Purpose. That is the P-A-T-H, Path to Purpose. Purpose is the reason for which something is done or created, or the reason for which something exists. Of course, according to its creator. So since we know that God is our creator, we want to ensure that we are on the correct path. Our scripture for today is going to be coming from Luke, the 4th chapter. Again, that's Luke chapter 4. And while you're turning in your Bibles, we want to go ahead and bow for a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you now, God, for our many blessings. We thank you, God, for watching over us and keeping us, O Lord. We pray now, God, for every listener and every person that is connected to every listener right now in the name of Jesus. We pray, God, that you just have your way in this place, O Lord. We pray, God, that you speak to me and through me. God, we pray that you forgive us for our sins and our shortcomings, God. Forgive us for sins of omission as well as commission. We pray now, God, for those who are listening, who are sick and afflicted on today, for those who need deliverance. God, you just move by your spirit. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, O God, in the name of Jesus. And we pray, God, that you send your word on today, O God. We pray, God, that you send a word to help us to just keep going just a little bit further. We pray, God, that you send a word, God, to encourage our hearts. Send a word, God, with clarity and understanding whereby we might live. In the name of Jesus, we ask all of these blessings in faith. Amen and amen. So again, we're coming from Luke chapter 4, and we're going to begin and verse number 42, and the Bible reads, "And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee." May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, readers, and doers of his most holy word. So we find here in scripture, in chapter 42, in the beginning, Jesus had been out in the wilderness and been tempted. After that, he began his ministry. When he began his ministry, he was rejected, even in Nazareth. And now, you know, Nazareth was his home. This is where his people were. But he was rejected by his own people. He began to go out and heal the sick and deliver those that needed to be set free. And it came to a point where after he had healed some sick folks that they began to follow behind him, and Jesus had separated himself from the rest of the group. And as we know that oftentimes when Jesus would escape from people, he would be communicating with God. And as you know, that in order for you to stay in purpose, on purpose, you have to stay in communication with God. You have to always stay in communication with the Father. You have to always talk to the Father and then listen to what he has to say to you to give you guidance. So here it is that Jesus had been communicating and communing with God, but the people wanted him to stay. Well, Jesus knew his purpose. He knew the reason that he came. So he let them know quickly, no, I can't stay here with you. Although I also came to heal and to deliver, I can't just stay here because I need to go and preach the kingdom to other cities also. Other people need to get this word. So it's important to know what it is that God has called us to do, because oftentimes people will attempt to distract us from our purpose. The enemy will attempt to distract us from our purpose. Even on today, I am traveling, so I've had all kinds of distractions in just trying to get this word out because I'm not in my normal surroundings. Well, guess what? The devil is a liar. For every attack on my voice, for all the sounds and distractions and noises and things that have occurred, he's a liar, because I will not be hindered from walking in my purpose. I will not be hindered from doing the things that God has called me to do. And we have to make up in our minds, just like Jesus did. When you know that you know that you know what it is that you're called to do, you don't allow anything or anybody to throw you off track. So now, having said that, we have to know what our purpose is. And some people are asking the question, even today, how do I know what my purpose is? Well, Proverbs 20:5 says that insight comes from God. Now, don't let your insight come from your friends, and don't let your insight come from your family. Don't let your insight come from the school teacher who told you you couldn't do anything and you were not smart and you're not going to be anything. You're nothing now and you're not going to be anything. Don't listen to those people. Don't let that be your insight. The Bible says that insight comes from God. So the way that you hear from God is by the influence of the Holy Spirit. His Spirit leads us and guides us. And you can't follow God without the influence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fills us. It fills all those voids, because if we have voids, the world will try to fill them for us. They may try to fill them with drugs. They may try to fill those voids with alcohol. They may try to fill those voids with an abusive environment. They may try to fill those voids with telling you, hey, you know, you can go ahead and just get what you want. You know, you don't have to work for it. You don't have to do anything. No matter what it is, don't let the world fill your voids for you. Let the Spirit of God dwell within you and fill your voids. The Holy Spirit also keeps our flesh under control, because we don't want our flesh to be our leader, because your flesh is what tells you, I'm tired. I don't want to do anything. I don't feel like doing that. I don't feel like fooling with those people. I'm tired of those church folks. I'm just going to give up. I'm going to quit. I'm not going to do anything. Your flesh will tell you anything, but it is the Holy Spirit that helps us. It is the Holy Spirit that guides us. It is the Holy Spirit that strengthens us. It's the Spirit of God that dwells within us to lead us. It's the Holy Spirit that also comforts us, because sometimes other people don't know how to comfort us. Sometimes other people don't know what to say or how to say. Sometimes they just don't say anything at all because they have issues themselves. But whatever the reason is, know that it is the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of you that is your comforter. So no matter what's going on, he is your comfort. He's also your counselor. When other people don't know what type of advice to give you, when you have situations and different things going on in your life, know that the Holy Spirit is your counselor. He also convicts us of our sins. Now, I didn't say he makes us feel guilty, because guilt comes from Satan, but conviction comes from God. If you're getting ready to do something wrong, some of us say, oh, I heard a little voice say, don't do that. Well, that's the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will tell us, oh, no, don't do that. Don't say that. Don't act like that. Don't be that way. And guess what else the Holy Spirit does? The Holy Spirit helps us to pray. The Bible says we don't even know what to pray for sometimes. We don't even know what it is that we need. But if we allow the Spirit to give us utterance or to give us the words, God will cause whatever it is that we need to come out of our mouths. And that way we can set ourselves in agreement with the Word of God. Because here it is, Again, we don't know what it is we need. Sometimes we think we know. We know what we want. We know what we like. We don't always know what we need. So because of that, the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. Why do we need to pray? Because we have to be in purpose, on purpose, all the time. Now you may be asking yourself, well, what do I do to get to my purpose? Well, again, just like Jesus, you have to continuously stay in communication with the Father. You have to continuously pray. You have to set your priorities on kingdom business. It can't be about your business. It can't be about your agenda. But if you set your priorities on kingdom business, God will work everything else out for you on your behalf. What else is it that we need to do? We have to remember that storms will come in our lives. We have to remember that issues will rise up in our lives. But you have to keep pushing through the storm. When the disciples were out on the sea and the storm came, Jesus was in the back of the boat sleeping. And Jesus woke up and he rebuked the wind and the waves that were causing the boat to rock and causing issues, causing hindrances to getting over to the other side, because they had ministry to do on the other side. There was ministry that had to be done. There was work that had to be done. There was kingdom business that had to be attended to. So because of that, of course the enemy is going to cause a storm to rise up. Of course the wind and the waves would attempt to distract them from where it is that they were going. And the same thing happens with us on today. We have to learn to rebuke the wind. We have to learn to rebuke the waves or whatever it is that's causing our hindrance. We have to learn to rebuke the enemy who would tell us, oh, you don't need to go. Just turn around. Oh, you don't need to do this. Just stop. Oh, you don't need to do your show today. You're busy. Whatever it is that the enemy would try to send to you, you have to learn to rebuke the devil. And the Bible says he'll flee from you. And that's exactly what happened with the disciples. But no, again, there are going to be some things that try to hinder you, the storms, but also you can be your own hindrance, your flesh, your mind, your feelings, your emotions, whatever it is that you're dealing with, whatever distractions you might have on today and any other day. But know that Satan comes to distract you or hinder you. John 10 and 10 says that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Of course he wants to steal. Of course, he wants to hinder you. Of course, he doesn't want you to be successful in the things that God has already planned for you. Of course, he doesn't want you to even have a desire to do what it is that God has planned for you. But know this, don't think that just because you're going through something, God has changed his mind about you. Romans 8 and 28 says, all things are working together for your good. All things. So remember, those hindrances and those things that are trying to stop you from doing the will of God for your life, all of those things are just building character. My friend, Pastor TK, and I shared a story about how codfish were shipped to the East Coast at the turn of the century. They were using rail cars, and in the beginning, they were freezing the cod. And once it got to the other side, it didn't taste right. It was mushy. The taste was poor. So then they decided to build aquariums on these rail cars, these saltwater aquariums. And when they did, the fish would still make it and they would still be alive, but just barely. And they still were not reaching their full potential. Well, when a study was done on the codfish, they found out that the natural enemy of the codfish was the catfish. Because it was the natural enemy, they threw in catfish with the codfish. And the entire trip, of course, the codfish was going to keep moving because it's trying to get away from this catfish. Well, guess what? Once it arrived to the East Coast, it had reached its full potential. It tasted the way it was supposed to. It looked the way it was supposed to. The fish was meeting its purpose because of the catfish. Guess what? Just like with us, we need some catfish in our lives. We need some catfish. The catfish may be your enemy, but it's that catfish that keeps you moving. It's that catfish or those people on your job. It's that catfish or those neighbors that seem to always disturb you or distract you. All things are working together for your good. So whether your spouse is inconsiderate or whether your children are ungrateful, whether your finances are up and down, whatever the catfish is in your life, know that it's all still working together for your good. Know that God has not changed his mind about you. Know that God's purpose will still come to fruition in your life. And all you have to do is seek him. We know the story about the man who was born blind and Jesus healed him. But some of the people who were standing around watching wanted to know how this man became blind. Did he sin when he was a baby? Did his parents sin? Because people are always looking for something to say. But Jesus had to let them know, no, he had to go through this. And I had to be here to heal him today for the glory of God. Many of us go through things for the glory of God. Some of the things that you're dealing with right now are because God knows that he can trust you, just like Job. God knows that he can trust you to go through a financial crisis for a moment because you're going to trust him, because you're still going to tithe, because you're still going to give to the kingdom. He knows that he can trust you. And just like the man who was born blind, God is going to get the glory out of your life, because there's somebody watching right now saying, man, I knew that she was going through something and she was still coming to church. Man, I know that she was grieving and she was still praising God. Man, I know that she was dealing with something in her marriage and dealing with something in her children, and she never stopped talking about the Lord. God wants to use us for his glory. He is going to get the glory out of our lives. Think about the woman who was at the well. This is a woman who came to the well in the heat of the day because she didn't want to come in the morning, because she wasn't about to be hanging out with those other women. Folks had begun to talk about her. She'd had several husbands. She'd been with several men. She had a reputation. But guess what? Once she met Jesus, once she had an encounter at the well and Jesus told her, oh no, you're coming here looking for natural water, but I want to give you a water that will cause you not to thirst anymore. I want to give you a water that's going to fill your voids, because those voids are causing you to be with all these men. I want to give you something to replace all of that. When she had that encounter with Jesus, this woman went from all these husbands and having a reputation to being an evangelist. And she went running into town telling people, come see a man. Come see a man who told me about my life. Come see a man who changed my life. Come see a man who filled my voids. And that's what we have to do. We have to remember that no matter what it is that we're doing to avoid, whatever the call of God and the purpose that God has for us, no matter what it is, God's purpose will be fulfilled and his purpose will not be changed. He is not going to change his mind about you. In Job 42:2, you need to know that even they, whoever they is in your life, they cannot thwart the plan of God for your life. They may be your family. They may be so-called friends. They may be some frenemies. They may be some church folks who are telling you you're not called. Whoever they is in your life, they can't change the plan of God and stop the plan of God for your life. He said, I know that no matter what it is that I'm going through, no matter what it is that I'm dealing with, and you can picture your biggest enemy in your mind right now. Yes, them. They can't stop you from the plan of God in your life. Know that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. It doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter what they try to do. They cannot stop the will of God for your life. Well, why is that? Because Jeremiah 29:11 says that God already has a plan for you. And he wants to give you a good future. And he wants to prosper you. He's going to give you an expected end. All you have to do is obey God. He's already got the plan worked out for you. So whoever they is, they can't stop it. You can get it out of your mind. They keep doing this and they keep doing that. Well, the devil is a liar. They can't stop you. Just think of them as the catfish in your life. You are on your path to purpose. They cannot hinder you and they cannot stop you. You may allow them to slow you down. And you shouldn't even do that. But no. The plan of God will be fulfilled in your life. And someone may be asking right now, well, what do I need to do? Philippians 2 verses 12 and 13 said, it's God who works out his purpose in us. So it's nothing really that you need to do other than work out your salvation. You concentrate on being saved. You focus on God. You focus on kingdom business. You focus on the work of the kingdom. As the scripture says, with fear and trembling. You honor and respect God and do the things you're supposed to do, and He's going to take care of the rest. He's going to work out His will in you, in spite of you. No matter what you try to do, you just focus on Him. Don't try to do it your way. Don't try to set up your own plan of action. God will lead you and guide you into what your plan is supposed to be. And He'll work it all out for you on your behalf. There are some I know who are listening today that just don't know what your purpose is in life. You need to realize that you just can't go and just do you. You have to be completely submitted to God. In Proverbs 16 and 9, the Bible says that we can make our own plans, but it's God who determines our steps. So even when you try to do it your way, God is still going to have His way. He's still going to have His way in you and through you, because He created you with a plan in mind. Even from your mother's womb, He knew you. Before you were born, He knew you, and He knew what He had in mind for you. So no matter what you try to do, you will not get away from God. God is going to have His way in you. So don't even worry about our little plans. You may think you're going to do something else, but God will show you exactly what it is that you're supposed to be doing, and you'll be certain. All you have to do is trust Him. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, if you just acknowledge God, He's going to direct your path. And that includes that path to purpose. Just trust God and He'll give you the directions that you need. You don't have to try to come up with something. You don't have to try to think up something. All you have to do is trust God and acknowledge Him in everything that you do. And He's going to give you that path. He's going to put you on that path. And He's going to keep you on that path. And in the meantime, He'll make all those enemies your footstool. All those catfish, they're just building character. All those people who try to come against you, it's just building character. It's making you stronger. It's increasing your faith. It's causing you to pray more. It's causing you to look to God more. How is that? Because God's purpose is perfect. We may not be perfect. We're going to make some mistakes. There's going to be times when you have doubt, and there's going to be some times when you're afraid. But don't allow that to stay. Don't allow that to cause you from being hindered. Don't allow that to cause you a hindrance from living out your purpose. God has already established a plan for our lives. So you just overcome these issues by continuing to immerse yourself in prayer and immerse yourself in studying the Word of God. Therefore, your faith is increased day by day, and we become more bold and more open to accomplish whatever that purpose is in Jesus' name. And it's a great purpose. The Bible says in Psalm number 119 and verse 105 that God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We just stay in the word, and He's going to give us that light and that guidance that we need. Just stay on the path. All you have to do is stay on the path. And we want God to shine some light on us. We want God to illuminate us. Illuminate my mind, God. Illuminate my heart. Make my path clear for me. I don't want to be guessing. I don't like uncertainty. And most of us don't. We want God to order our steps. So therefore, we need that word to shine a light for us and show us exactly what those steps are. We need God's word to shine a light for us and illuminate our path. Where is it then that we begin? Well, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1 and 9, salvation is God's greater purpose for us. It's not the end. You don't get saved and like, well, hey, I done got saved now, so I can't do this and that no more. Yeah, there may be some things that change about your life, but salvation is not the end. It's only the beginning. It's the beginning of where it is that God is taking you. It's the beginning of what God wants to do in you. When we're about our Father's business, because we're focusing on the work of the kingdom, because we're acknowledging what it is that God wants to do in us, we just have to surrender. We just look to God. We focus on God. And then His purpose will show up in us. He gives us a measure of grace and mercy every day. Again, we're going to mess up. We're going to make some mistakes. But know that those people who are around you, people who may be in your life, those people don't have a final say about your life. God does. Again, you just focus on Him. You study His word. You spend your time praying and communicating with Him. Don't let anybody stop you by telling you what you can't do or what you can't become. I don't care if it was that mean school teacher that you had in second, third grade that tried to plant a seed in your mind. You're nothing. You're never going to be anything. You can't do this. You can't do that. You're not smart. Or if it was that family member that said, you're not pretty, so you need to study. You're never going to get a man. Or that family member who told you, you're not a man. You're a wimp. You're weak. You're sorry. You're silly. You're stupid. Whatever those messages may be, stop allowing those messages to replay in your head. Nobody can stop you. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter your financial status. It does not matter your gender. God has the final say. The more they say you can't, the more you need to press forward for the prize of the high calling in God. The more they try to stop you, the more you need to keep pressing. The more they tell you don't, the more you need to keep pushing. God has a path for your purpose. People will always try to hinder you from reaching your purpose. People will always try to hinder you from reaching your destiny. They did it to Jesus. But what they didn't know is the more they talked, the more He was still about the Father's business, because He knew what He was here for. He knew what He came for. So whether people are jealous or just trying to stop you, or they're just selfish and have their own selfish reasons to try to keep you from moving forward, oftentimes it's because they are miserable themselves. And you can't expect everybody to be on your side. Remember, it was Joseph's own brothers that threw him into a pit and then sold him into slavery and came back and said he was dead. Why? Because they were jealous, because Joseph had shared with them a vision that God had given him about his future. Everybody's not excited about your future. Everybody's not excited about the plan of God for your life. And sometimes, Joseph, you have to remember you cannot share that with everybody. But know that even those brothers who threw him into a pit and sold him into slavery could not hinder the plan of God for his life. Even in slavery, even in jail, God's plan did not change for Joseph. And he still went forward and became who God had told him he would be. He still went forward and the vision came to pass. Don't let people stop you. You just keep acknowledging God and do what you're supposed to do. Now, somebody might be saying, well, Elder, how do I narrow all of this down? You've said a lot on today. How do I make sense of all these things? That's a lot of information. It's simple. Make kingdom business your priority. Make God your priority. You don't have to spend a whole lot of time trying to get your name into the history books. You don't have to spend time trying to be famous and be popular. Because the only book that will matter at the end is the book of life. You don't have to forfeit wealth on the earth for a reward in heaven. You can still have some things down here. You can still move forward down here. But the focus is not on gaining money, gaining wealth. You just do what you're supposed to do and your gift will make room for you. Matthew 6:33 says, just seek first the kingdom of God. Seek His righteousness. Do the things that you're supposed to be doing. So you don't have to be walking around and broke and busted and disgusted just because you're about kingdom business. No, God blesses you with what you need in order to do His business. He gives you what you need in order to go forth, because we all know, yes, the gospel is free, but ministry costs. So if your call is in an area of ministry, know that God will not just give you the gifts, but He's going to supply all of your needs, every last thing that you need in order to be able to go forth in that. But don't focus on the money. Don't focus on the things. If you happen to become popular while doing this, then great. If not, so what? Because that wasn't your plan anyway. Your plan is just to obey God. And whatever doors he opens for you, he's going to open. It's also going to be some doors that he shuts, because there are some doors that you don't need to go through that don't have anything to do with God. It was all you, your flesh. It was all the people who are around you who were trying to use you for their benefit. There are some doors that he's going to close. And we have to accept that. Now, some of us are in a space right now where we don't know what to ask God for. We don't know, okay, Lord, I hear her saying that I need to be in purpose and on purpose. I hear her saying to stay on the path. I hear her saying to focus on you. But God, I don't even know how to pray or what to ask you for. Again, the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you. You don't have to try to figure that out. It's important that we know that when we pray, it will put our ongoing fellowship in the front and center of our lives. That ongoing fellowship that we have with God, the more we pray, the more that relationship with God is prevalent. The more we pray, the more we spend time with God, the more he builds us up, the more it's our priority. The more we pray and talk to God, the more we can keep him first and foremost. And it's not about our own agenda anymore. So therefore, we have to pray. And then Jesus gave us a model prayer. In Luke 2:11, he began by telling us that we have to glorify God, our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Holy is your name, God. We begin by glorifying God and giving him all praise, honor, and glory, because he is the creator. He is our creator, not a creator, the creator. So we begin in prayer by glorifying God and thanking him for what he's already done. But what we want is for his will to be done. We want God's will to be done in our lives. And as Jesus was instructing on how to pray, he instructs them to begin with themselves. We don't need to be talking to God first about anybody else. First, I need God to fix me. So that's why we also ask him to forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It's not about them. God, you forgive me for what I've done wrong. As I am forgiving other people, you are forgiving me. We need to focus on ourselves. And again, focus on the will of God as we pray. Not our own agenda, not our own will, not our own ideologies and concepts. But we have to focus on the will of God when we pray. Because when Jesus was walking this earth, what was his priority? It was always the will of the Father. It was necessary that he work the work of him who sent him. It was necessary that he be in the will of God. It was necessary that he do what God sent him here for. It was necessary that he was constantly about the Father's business. And remember that every time Jesus escaped from people or got away from folks, guess what? When he was going to a deserted place, it was to commune with the Father. He came back on several occasions. He would take the disciples with him and leave them, you know, within a certain realm and be like, okay, I'm coming back and you all are asleep. You can't pray with me for an hour. Because he spent a lot of time communicating with God to ensure that God gave him what he needed to make sure that he was on track, to make sure that he was on the path, to make sure that his priority was always about his relationship with the Father. Because sometimes when we're doing the work of God, it doesn't always feel good. It doesn't always feel good. It's not going to. Sometimes there are some moments, again, even when he was getting ready to go to the cross, where for a moment he said, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Because sometimes there are some things that we just don't want to go through. But he quickly snapped out of it because, again, it's about the will of God for our lives. It's about what he sent us here to do. So if you're a Christian, you're not running around trying to discover your purpose. Rather, as you are experiencing a relationship with God, your purpose is revealed to you by just walking with him. And the more you walk with him, the more it's revealed. The more you obey him, the more he'll show you. The more you trust him, the more he'll direct you. It works hand in hand. The mistake that most people begin to make is that they attempt to measure their purpose by what you've done compared to what other people are doing. Your purpose is not based on what you're doing based on what other folks have done. Don't compare yourself to them. But rather, what you should be measuring your purpose by is by what you've done compared to what it is that you're supposed to be doing. You can't measure yourself by other people and what they're doing. They have a different calling. They have a different purpose in life. God did not create any of us just alike. So don't measure yourself by what other people are doing. Don't measure yourself by them. If you want to measure something, compare it to what it is you're supposed to be doing, whether or not you're doing what you're supposed to do. You don't have to go spending a whole lot of energy trying to see if this plan or this mate or this job or this path is going to work for you. All you have to do is focus on God, and He'll give you the plan and the mate and the job and the path that will work for you. Not trying plan after plan after plan. Not trying man after man after man or woman after woman after woman, like the woman at the well trying to fill a void. Not hopping from job to job to job. Every year you're on a different job in a totally different career path. It's one thing to be promoted, but when you just completely change jobs every year, it's clear that you're looking for something. You're trying to fill a void that's not there. So you need the job, not a job, not job after job after job. You need the path that God wants you to be on. Not just running around willy-nilly and trying something new every 6 months. Stop what you're doing and ask God to lead and guide you. I heard a story about a man who went to the doctor. And when he got to the doctor asked him what was wrong. And he told the doctor, everything hurts. And the doctor said, okay, let's see. Well, touch your shoulder. The man did it, and he screamed in pain. The doctor said, well, touch your neck. The man did it, and again, he screamed in pain. The man said, well, touch your head. The man did it. And again, he was in pain. The man says, see, doc, I told you. Everywhere I touch, it hurts. So the doctor began to examine the man. And he came to a conclusion. He said, well, no wonder. Everywhere you touch, you're in pain. Because you have a dislocated finger. Many of us do the exact same thing. But just in a different way. We think that everything in our lives is wrong. There's something wrong with this and there's something wrong with that. Everything hurts, God. My life is just in uproar. Nothing is right about my life. But in fact, there's only one thing in your life that's wrong. And this one thing affects everything. This one thing is that we are living our lives without purpose. When you are not in purpose, on purpose, according to God's purpose for your life, not your little old agenda, but when you are not in purpose, on purpose, and doing what it is that God has designed you to do, you're going to go through all kind of motions and emotions. You're going to feel empty. You're going to feel weighed down. And that's because you're living your life without purpose. It's all about God. It's not about us. I want to encourage you on today to ensure that you are living a life of purpose. You see people every day, and there may be someone listening right now who does not know your purpose. And so all you know is everything hurts. Just like that man. It's not your head. It's not your neck. It's not your shoulder. It's not the people on your job, but the lack that you have is in being in purpose. You're walking around with your head down, or you're walking around mad at everybody. You're driving down the street blowing the horn at everybody, running up behind cars and running up next to people with road rage because they got in front of you. You're angry. You're miserable. You're tired. But you don't know the purpose for your life because you are not completely surrendered to God. And so since you don't know the purpose for your life, you're just running around willy-nilly, going after this person and going after that person. You're running around willy-nilly, going after this job and trying this hobby. From one thing to the next, you're doing something else. I want you to know on today that God has a plan for your life. And it begins with salvation. If you are not saved, if you have not surrendered your life to God, that's what's wrong. That's what's missing. You're not going to find it in an alcohol bottle. You're not going to find it in a drug. I don't care how high you get. When you come back down, that same situation is still right there. You're not going to find it in popping pill after pill. Pills to get up in the morning to wake you up and give you energy. Pills to go to sleep at night because you can't rest and you can't find peace. You're not going to find it in any of those things. What you are seeking comes from God. It comes through salvation. It comes through a relationship with God. It comes in communicating and communing with God on a regular basis. Why is that? Why do you think that you need to pray and spend time with God? Well, in any relationship that you're building, you have to spend time talking to that person. If you're coming to a new job, your first meeting should be with your boss to find out not just what they expect of you, but you can in turn tell them what you expect of them. If you're meeting a new boo or you've met a new bae, how do you find out what they expect of you? And how do you have a conversation about what you expect of them? It comes from communicating. You have to have conversations. You have to spend time together. You have to get to know them. Well, it's the same way with God. Parents, how do you build a relationship with your children? It's not in buying toys. It's not in giving them money. It's not in giving them things. But the way that you build relationship, the way that they begin to trust you and you can begin to trust them, especially when they become teenagers. Because anybody who has kids, if they haven't become teenagers yet, my God, they're going through all kinds of emotional changes. And so because they're going through emotional changes, oftentimes they take you through. Guess what? If you have a relationship with them, you can trust them. If you communicate and you're open and honest, they trust you. Every relationship requires communication. Every relationship requires conversation. You cannot say that you're walking with God and you never pray. And I don't mean those 5-minute canned prayers. Thank you, Lord. Appreciate you, God. Now, God, this is what I need you to do for me. No, that's not how this works. You have to have a relationship with God so that you even know what it is that you're supposed to be doing every day, from day to day, from minute to minute. You have to have a relationship with God to know what it is that you're supposed to be doing with your life. You have to have a relationship to God to find out your purpose, because he only reveals it in your relationship. He's not just going to tell you and throw it out there and walk away. But in your relationship, as you focus on him, he focuses on the path. and the direction and illuminating your world, your life, showing you the steps that you need to take. Because the Bible says that your steps are already ordered by God because you are His. So if you're listening today and you're not one of His, you have the opportunity to do so right now. Just like the woman at the well, He'll fill every void. He will meet every need. You don't have to keep trying to replace love. God loves you, but you just didn't know it. You don't have to keep trying to smoke up some peace. You have peace with God, but you just didn't know it. You don't have to keep going from job after job after job and working 4 and 5 jobs at a time, wearing yourself out. Because God will give you the job, not just a job. He'll put you where you need to be so that you can carry out your purpose. Because don't you know that even with the jobs that we're assigned to here in this earthly realm, He has you there for a reason. So that's why you can't just go to a job. You can't just go and pick out a house. You have to be in the house where God plants you. Why is that? There may be some neighbors that you may have to minister to. There may be some neighbors that you need to invite to church so they can get saved. There may be some people watching you and paying attention to your lifestyle and trying to figure out, man, he goes to work and comes home. Man, he goes to church and comes home. Something is different about this guy. Something is different about this woman. I never see her out here sitting outside with everybody else gossiping and hanging out with a bunch of folks and a bunch of folks coming to her house. Because when you're in purpose and your own purpose, you don't have time for foolishness. You're about kingdom business. You're doing what it is that God has called you to do. If you don't know what your purpose is, get closer to God. God is your creator. And He knows what it is that He designed you for. Because He's the one who created you, He created you with a purpose in mind. And He's truly the one, the only one that can reveal it to you. Other people may try. They may see some gifts and some traits in you and some things about you that they say, oh, wow, you know, you're really good at that. And oftentimes the things that you're good at may have something to do with your purpose. But let me tell you that other people do not know the entirety of your purpose. They may see some things, especially if it's people who are spiritual people who are praying, who are connected to you in some way, shape, or form. Because oftentimes the people that God connects us to, we're connected to them for a purpose. Even the people that you marry, you're connected to them for a purpose. You didn't just get with them because they were cute. But you got with them because God connected you for your destiny. That's why you never want to be connected to somebody and call them your destiny partner. And they're on a whole nother agenda. That's why the Bible says, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Because unbelievers have a different agenda and a different plan than the plan that God has set for your life. You have to be in purpose, on purpose, all the time. So therefore, you have to be hearing from God. You have to be communicating with God. You have to be talking to God and listening to what it is that He's saying. If you're doing all the talking in any relationship, you can't be learning very much. And it's the same with your relationship with God. You can't do all the talking. You have to stop and listen to what it is that He's telling you to do or not to do. You have to stop and pay attention to how He wants you to do certain things. We get connected to people and let those people start to tell us, oh, well, this is what you need to do and this is where you need to go. Not if God hasn't sent them. They'll tell you anything. And again, sometimes it's for selfish reasons. But even if that person may be your pastor and they're telling you, you know, I heard God say this or I heard God say that, and it's new to you and you didn't have a clue, you need to wait on God and do what it is that God is saying do. And then oftentimes we have the reverse, where we heard God and we know that God told us to do something, and we go to someone who is in leadership who may not be spiritual, but they're in leadership, and we say, hey, you know, I'm led to do this and I'm led to do that. And that person is like, no, you're a woman. Ain't no woman preaching at my church. Well, see, that's the problem. It's your church. But when it's God's church, you know that God is not worried about gender. He said there's neither male nor female, neither Jew nor Greek. So God is not worried about a gender, your gender. He just wants somebody to do what it is that he says to do. So therefore, don't be stifled or don't be hindered by what people are saying. You have to hear from God for yourself. And you have to know that you know that you know that God has sent you to do something. And I'm not, when I say sent, I'm not saying that everybody needs to run out and preach. That's not what I'm saying. If your job is to be a prayer warrior, if your job is to be engaged in intercessory prayer, if your purpose is to be a singer in the choir, if your purpose is to be the minister of music, whatever it is that your purpose is, when God shows you, he's going to make that path clear for you. And all those catfish that we talked about in the beginning, all those folks who are seeming to be getting on your nerves or bothering you, it's just there to make you stronger. So even if they tell you, you're not called. God didn't send you. You let God continue to build you up. You let God continue to strengthen you. You let God continue to lead and guide you and show you the way. Because you have to be in purpose, on purpose. And that's not just some of the time. Constantly let God show you. Constantly let God lead you. You can't just pop in and out. Because again, people will tell you anything. You don't have to worry about folks condemning you, trying to tell you, no, I don't think God sent you to preach. No, I don't think that you're supposed to be singing. Your voice is different. Most singers sound like this. Well, God didn't call you to be like everybody else. No, I don't know if God called you to be a minister of music. Most ministers of music look like this, act like this, talk like this. They hit this note. But God didn't call you to be just like everybody else. You have to know the path to your purpose, not their purpose, not their agenda. You have to know. And it doesn't mean you just leave every church because you go and try to tell somebody, God called me to do this or that, and they didn't listen. God, again, will open those doors for you. God will make a way for you. He'll ensure that your gift makes room for you, even when you least expect it, even when you didn't plan it. I had no idea that God would be relocating me to Jackson, Mississippi from Nashville. Wasn't in my plan, hadn't thought about Mississippi. I've lived all over the world. How did I end up in Mississippi? Because that's where God sent me, because there was a work to do. That's where God sent me. He utilized the job to get my attention. But when I got there, there was ministry that had to be done. There is ministry and still work to do. I thought I knew, but I told God, okay, you have your way. Your will and your way for my life is all I want. And that has to be our focus. Consistently concentrating on the will of God for our lives. Because if I'd had my way, I may be living somewhere else. So I wouldn't be doing what it is that God has said for me to do. I may be out on my own agenda and miserable, trying to figure it out. But when you just stop and obey God and just stop and do what you're supposed to do, he makes all that clear for you. And now it's clear as day. But at the time, moved to Mississippi, When they spoke to me about the job, I thought when they said Madison, they were talking about Madison, Wisconsin. I was like, okay, I guess Wisconsin's okay. I've lived everywhere. Okay, fine. No. They were talking about Madison, Mississippi, a place I'd never even heard of and had to look for on the map. But why is that? Because God was trying to get me somewhere. God wanted to do something in me. God wanted to strengthen me in some areas. And guess what? He also wanted to separate me from some people and some things. He wanted to separate me from some ideas and some concepts that I thought I knew all about and I thought I already had together. But he had another route for me to take. He had a plan for me, and he has a plan for you. You don't even have to try to figure it out. You don't have to try to work it out. All you have to do is simply obey God. He created you with a purpose in mind. He created you with a plan. All you have to do is spend time with him. All you have to do is pray and talk to him, and he will certainly reveal it to you. Many of us are not living up to our full potential, but I want to encourage you today to continue to seek God so he can continue to unfold all the layers of the things that he has in mind for you. God wants to do far more. His plan for you is exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or even think. We can't even dream up all of the things that God wants to do in us. We can't even do it that big. But his plan for us is that powerful and that important. So it has to be important for us to be in purpose, on purpose, and stay on the path to purpose. I thank you all for listening on today. I pray that something has been said to encourage your hearts. I pray that something has been said to inspire you to want to stay on your path to purpose. I pray that something has been said to inspire you to not even worry about those catfish or those hindrances, those things that you think are coming to stop you from doing what it is that God has called you to do, because God's will be done in your life. Be encouraged on today. This is a message of hope. I pray that God grants you favor, and I pray that he grants you insight as you continue to seek him regarding his will for your life. Thank you again so much for joining. Campbell Ministries is currently in the process of our donation drive for Your Big Sister's Closet. Your Big Sister's Closet is a part of the ministry where we collect gently used bridesmaids, prom dresses, and formal gowns to be donated to young ladies who otherwise wouldn't be able to go to prom. So if you have a donation of a formal gown or a monetary donation, you may send it to P.O. Box 16214, Jackson, Mississippi. Again, that's P.O. Box 16214, Jackson, Mississippi, and the zip is 39236. If you are in the Jackson, Mississippi area and you need a place to worship, stop by the Wordful Gospel Baptist Church. We just want to love on you. We just want to share the word of God with you. We want to be able to encourage you. So the Wordful Gospel Baptist Church is located at 3023 Percy V. Simpson Drive, again in Jackson, Mississippi. God bless you. Thank you so much for listening. Remember, don't worry about those catfish. Don't worry about those hindrances. You just focus on God, and he'll work it all out for you. God bless.